Welcome to Intuition, Prophecy, and Visions, a global conversation and activation with top spiritual luminaries from around the world. I'm your host, Melissa Lilly. This online event is brought to you by New3University.com to expand the mission of its intuitive development program, Psychic Retrieval, to empower you with your own experience of intuition, prophecy, and visions. All of the teachers I've selected for this interview experience share one essential core belief with New3 University. We all believe every person has the ability of intuition, receiving prophecy, and interpreting visions. Beyond this core belief, you will hear many unique perspectives, techniques, and stories. Our teacher today is Jason Nelson. Jason is the visionary channel and teacher for New3 University, where soul-based living ignites world peace. Certification trainings are currently offered. The first is voice channeling, where students learn mediumship and spiritual healing. The second is five accomplishments coaching, a coaching process where students learn soul-based living and transform root issues, enabling them to manifest their life purpose. And psychic retrieval, where students utilize all of their intuitive abilities to access the infinite knowledge. Jason's teaching approach is simple, grounded, and practical so that our natural soul abilities of spiritual communication, healing, intuition, and manifesting can enhance our life in every way. Jason also works privately with clients around the world as an intuitive, spirit-guided coach. He specializes in helping clients discover and manifest their soul's life purpose, transition careers, manifest a life partner, and have deep personal transformation. Jason is the author of divinely communicated books, Age of the Soul, A New Way of Living from Your Soul, and Empower Our Children, God's Call to Parents, How to Heal Yourself and Your Children. Today, part of what Jason will be sharing are teachings directly from New3 University's Psychic Retrieval Intuitive Development Certification Training Program on Intuitive Knowing and Prophecy. Welcome, Jason.
Hello. This is such an interesting, fascinating topic, prophecy, visions, intuition, and what we're going to talk about today. And Melissa, what we do with New3 University is attempt to make this very practical and grounded and applicable to everyday life, not seem like something that's out of reach, but something that is accessible. So I hope to do that today.
Well, Jason, let's begin with what has been your biggest challenge in developing intuition and what have you done to overcome it?
Yeah, my biggest challenge with intuition is probably the same challenge that most of you have who are listening in, and that is just, you know, knowing when it's the intuition, knowing when it's the mind. But here's another component: knowing when it's spirit, knowing when it's higher power, knowing when it's your spiritual guidance. So there's actually three different ways that we perceive information or receive information, and that is the mind, the intuitive faculties, and then from spirit. And a lot of people get the spiritual communication and the intuition kind of mixed up as the same thing, but they're actually different. So the spiritual communication, and I know that we have a whole training and event on that, but I want to share just a bit about it just to make the comparison here real. Spiritual communication, whatever your higher power is, whatever spirit or your higher power is to you, there is a spiritual guidance team that's with you all the time, 24/7. And so that spiritual guidance team is planting thoughts in your mind and, you know, giving you feelings and nudges and can even give you visions and a sense of knowing and to move you in the direction of really what your soul intended to experience, at least generally speaking, in this life. So that's information coming to us from spirit. The information comes to us. The intuitive process, or us being a psychic or an intuitive, or using our intuitive faculties to perceive, is actually retrieving information. It's perceiving information out there and almost like it's bringing it to us. And of course, with intuition, their distance doesn't really matter. You can intuit or perceive information anywhere in existence, across the globe. And so the big difference here is that with the intuitive faculties, it's almost like our non-physical eyes, ears, and mind, and it's always on, and we're always picking up things intuitively. So everybody's intuitive. It's natural. Everyone's born with it. But a lot of people can shut it down to a great degree, especially early on, because it's directly connected to the imaginary part of our mind, our imagination. So when we're told things are, you know, wild fantasies or childish or, you know, wild imagination or, you know, that's just something that the child does. But, and then eventually we're expected to show up as the adult and show up and be, you know, mature and responsible and not think about those childish things and really just not have that same imagination. It's not nurtured like it is when we're a child. But as that imagination starts closing down, so does our intuitive perception that's always on, closed down. And so for some, it really closes down to where they don't feel like they have that intuitive sense at all. So opening that back up is a journey. It can open up quite quickly. But really, getting to know it and reacquainting yourself with your intuitive perception of reality, people, places, things, you know, past, future, everything happening in the moment of now, that is something that we refine over time. And even if it's open, even for professional psychics or intuitives, which psychic and intuitive is really two synonymous words that mean the same thing, for professionals, it's a journey for us too, as professionals. You know, if we're really wanting to just be the greatest that we can possibly be, we're going to be pursuing intuitive growth and growth with healing and mediumship and all of our abilities manifesting for the rest of our lives. So for me, really big challenge that has come with wanting to open up my intuition and develop it is discerning the difference between the mind, the intuition that I'm picking things up, and then when it's spirit dropping them in to my mind or as a vision or knowing or feeling. And, you know, Melissa, I focused on this discernment for a couple years and refined it to where I could know the difference between the three. But it really takes a lot of focus and determination every single day, just playing with it and using it, because for most, it's been closed down to a great degree for so long.
Yeah, that's really helpful, sharing that difference between the mind, the intuition, and the spirit communication. And, you know, what I'm hearing you share is that it really is, that discernment comes over time through really awareness. Would you say just being aware of yourself and what's happening in the moment and to the best of your ability, saying, okay, I think that was my mind, or okay, you know, I think that was spirit, or okay, I think that was just my intuition, and just knowing the difference by learning as you go.
Well, yes, we're spiritual beings, souls in physical form. So souls full-time, physical part-time, having a physical experience until, you know, the body ceases to be and the soul moves on. But as spiritual beings, perceiving non-physically is natural. It's just happening all the time. As physical beings, as with this personality and the emotion and the mind and all the things that make up this physicality, this temporal or temporary vehicle that we're inhabiting at this time, that certainly feels so real, it can limit our intuitive perception. But it's just limitations that we place on ourselves, learned behaviors, learned thoughts that we are conditioned with from the outside world, you know, that starts as children. So this is really a journey for the rest of our lives. But it's certainly not a part-time a part-time pastime kind of hobby thing. You know, I encourage you all, I encourage everybody who's participating to just consider this. Is personal growth and spiritual growth, is it just something fun? You know, something you do, you know, put an hour aside here, hour aside there, go to workshop once or twice a year. You know, it's a fun thing. It's like, you know, playing with the divinity cards or the angel cards, you know, it's a fun little thing that you do. Is it that? Is it a hobby? Because if it's a hobby, you're not going to get very far with your development. It's going to be fun. You're going to enjoy it. Certainly there's exceptions that people can just, you know, become blown wide open and have all this perception and everything comes into focus. But for the majority, it's the choice to make this pursuit a lifestyle that makes the difference, to where you will see a difference over time, you know, every day, every week, every month, as the years go on. You are going to see how you're becoming more intuitively accurate, and if your pursuit is also spiritual communication mediumship, that's going to get refined in healing, that'll get refined in your ability to manifest it. But it really does need to be a lifestyle, a full-time experience that you bring into everything you do. So I encourage everyone, this is like the real big first action step that I'm just inviting you into, giving you an invitation. This invite is to consider, is my spiritual growth and personal growth, is it a part-time hobby, or is it a full-time lifestyle?
It's a big question, you know, and I know it's something that, you know, some of you listening, this could be the first time you're really considering this question. Other people, sometimes you might be revisiting this question because it is a commitment and it is a different way of being. And wouldn't you say, Jason, that the opportunity to commit to the lifestyle, whereas you can encounter more challenge, there's a lot further that you can go, a lot clearer you can get, and a lot more can come, especially people that really want to understand their life purpose and really contribute to the world in some way, the more we access our abilities of, you know, intuition, for instance, and the rest. That's really the doorway to knowing our best next steps in every moment.
Yeah, a way we can put this into perspective that might ground it for everybody is utilizing your physical senses, eyes, ears, you know, sense of touch, taste, and mind, and your intuition a little bit. You know, I get a sense here, I get a sense there. Just imagine that version as being blind. You don't see this beautiful world. It's a very, very different experience of existing to not have sight and not be able to see this beautiful world. Or you see the beautiful world, but you don't hear the beautiful world. Hearing. Just to put it into a physical perspective, it really is that drastic of a difference. When you open, when you have your physical senses, in addition to your non-physical intuitive senses, very open and using them every day, it's like a whole new world opens up. It is beyond, trust me, what you could imagine. And as far in your development as you are with your intuitive development, mediumship development, healing, manifesting, there is a whole nother level and realm that you can grow into. I experience it. I experience it every year of my life, every even month of my life. Sometimes, you know, a next day there's, just because I'm showing up and surrendering to how can I grow spiritually and personally in this moment the greatest possible way. Now, this does not mean that you have to, change careers, become a life coach, become an energy healer, you know, do something metaphysical like this or spiritual or to do this. That's not what I'm talking about. Making your personal growth and spiritual growth a lifestyle is really just bringing it into what you already do. The relationships you already have, the family you already have, the career you already have. Yes, things may change. They may change, but it's not necessarily the situations that are happening externally. It's the presence and the intention and the determination of taking the next big step into your personal spiritual growth in every moment that makes a difference. And that can happen anywhere with anyone at any time.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, it's true because you and I talk about this, you know, we need people in every single industry that are accessing their intuition and healing and spiritual communication, all of their abilities, and bringing that out into every single industry, career, path, purpose on the planet. You know, like you said, you don't need to all of a sudden become an energy healer or a psychic or an intuitive. It's about bringing all of these natural abilities just into your life and whatever you're doing and whatever your purpose is on the planet.
And maybe the next action step here for everyone is to consider maybe writing down a list of a couple areas. Let's just start with two or three life areas, relationships, situations where you can bring more of personal growth and spiritual growth into it, and play with it. Play with it. You have tools, I'm sure. I'm sure you have a tool or two. You have your breath. You can certainly just breathe more in a given moment. But we have many tools with New3 University, and the teachers on this event series are sharing tools. So just bring your tools with you into these situations and see how you feel as a result of doing it.
Beautiful. And how do you recommend everyone listening also to take a next step in their lives with intuition, prophecy, and visions?
Next step. Okay. Let's talk about one aspect of intuition, prophecy, and visions, because it's, believe it or not, there's so much in there that can be learned and applied. So let's consider intuitive knowing, claircognizance, as it's called. Intuitive knowing, claircognizance. And, of course, additionally, the other three main intuitive qualities, you know, the major ones are intuitive seeing, intuitive feeling, intuitive hearing. You know, you get a voice or a thought in the mind, seeing is a vision, and feeling is that gut feeling. Well, knowing, I'd like to share about knowing because it's fascinating. And we'll also talk about prophecy a bit here. So with knowing, you're getting information intuitively, perceiving intuitively, but instantly without intellectual thought process or necessarily an understanding to it, you just know. So how many times can you reflect back to where you just knew something about someone or something happening or yourself? You just knew. It's happened more than once. You know, you just knew that you should do this or you should do that. This happens a lot with children and parents, of course. Parents are very intuitive with their children. You kind of know something's going on even though the child doesn't tell you. Somebody asks you if you want to go out to do something, and you just know that you want to go. Yeah, let's go. And there's intuitive knowing that's happening every day in your life where you're just picking up information that helps you to quickly move forward in the best possible way. Now, what's interesting about this understanding of intuitive knowing, which is in its physical context, confidence. So someone that has a strong intuitive knowing will appear confident. Someone who has a lot of confidence will have the capacity for a strong intuitive knowing. But intuitive knowing is one of the most imbalanced intuitive qualities and unclear intuitive qualities. And that can happen as being overconfident or underconfident. And this overconfidence or underconfidence or lack of confidence directly ties into your intuitive knowing and how clear it is or unclear it is in providing you instant useful information or not useful information. But by bringing yourself mentally and emotionally into a balanced confidence, you actually balance your intuitive knowing quality. And the most balanced form of your intuitive knowing quality is what I call humble confidence. Let me explain this, because I think this understanding could be helpful if you play with it and work with your practitioner, coach, or with your own tools. Humble confidence is being certain of your truth in the moment and at the same time being open to knowing a new truth in the next moment. I know this sounds a little tricky, but it's the most powerful personality type in existence is a humble knower or humble confidence, because you're connected to your truth, you know your truth, you're certain of your truth in the moment. You can express your truth from that place, but also in the next moment, depending on your environment, what people say, what's happening, just what spirit might bring into your own mind, you are completely 100% open to knowing a new truth, a different truth in the next moment. It's beautiful. You know, it's something I've aspired towards more and more my whole life and will continue to, because it's what a beautiful version of confidence. And by having that openness, let me now reflect it into something like healing, spiritual healing, meaning healing with, you know, God, Source, Almighty, spiritual guides, angels, whatever your higher power is, spiritual healing. Okay, a humble knower, humble confidence is very key with healing, because you have the confidence and certainty that the healing will be done. In fact, it's already been done. It's already been done as it's happening in the moment. You know that it's already been done, and it's almost like just watching this beautiful revealment of that which has already happened. I know it's tricky, but it's fascinating to think about. And the humble part is your openness, open heart, open mind, open body, open vessel to the higher power coming in and through you to perform the most impactful miracle that can be known. So that openness of the humbleness and that confidence of the certainty that the healing's happening, that combination, that alchemy, makes for the most powerful healers. Okay, the most powerful intuitive, the most powerful medium. Because now the medium is confident in what they're bringing through, which is exceptionally important for a medium to be confident in their channeling, their mediumship. But also they're open that spirit can bring through anything they want, and even something different than maybe the medium's belief system. Very, very powerful personality type for mediumship too, and as well with manifesting, and really all of our soul abilities. So, I want to talk about this, Melissa, this humble confidence or humble knowing, because it's really the key to greatly accelerating and expanding one's intuitive capacity.
Yeah, it's powerful. I love this concept, and I'm continuing to see it on different levels, and it really is a personal growth journey in my experience. Wouldn't you say that to be this humble knower for most people is to release a lot of limiting beliefs so that they can show up in each moment totally open, as well as having confidence?
True. It's a very, very precious balance and a appreciated balance once one moves into alignment with it. And we all have met, or maybe you might be saying, yeah, I'm kind of the know-it-all, you know, the know-it-all, the one who, you know, they can tend to be the one who talks and even can take over conversations. You know, they'll use words like, I know. They'll just be so certain of whatever it is that they're talking about as though it's the truth of God. And so the confidence is really helpful and important. The humility, the humble confidence, the humble knower allows one to know, but also to be open and receptive to knowing something new, and also receptive to surroundings. So it's a nice balance. But the overconfident knower will tend to be the know-it-all, as some have called it. And then on the other side, the underconfident knower, a lack of confidence, is the one that can get to such a place, and I have clients like this that I've helped, to where you just can't make a decision. You kind of go around and around and think about things, but with a lack of confidence or a low knowing quality or imbalanced knowing quality, it could be hard to make decisions. Or you might change your mind easily, kind of wax and wane back and forth. And so these are just kind of how it shows up more physically in everyday life. But I'd like to give just a couple pointers here, things you can consider when you're wanting to increase your intuitive knowing quality. Use words, confident words, in your vocabulary like no. You know, affirm things as a matter of fact. You may not, there may be a part of you that, you know, doubts it or isn't quite sure, you know, you could stand behind it as total truth 100%, but do it anyway. See what it feels like. It may seem a little contrived at first, but you're moving yourself into confidence. And so also using words like no, you know, I know. Some people who are more seers will say, yeah, I see what you're saying. Feelers, yeah, I feel you. Hearers, I hear you. I hear what you're saying, just as an example. Use confident words. Use word no when you're speaking. I know. Look in the mirror and say, I'm such a wonderful person. You know, I'm beautiful. I'm confident. I'm handsome. You know, not in a fake way to where they're just words, but connect a feeling to it. And if the feeling's uncomfortable at first, it's okay. Be real with it. But be present with your feelings when you affirm. Affirmations are hollow unless you're connected to your feelings and emotions when you are declaring them. Okay? And ultimately, the affirmation will move into what I call celebration, where you're not like necessarily reaffirming something to create it. You know it's created, you're just celebrating what is. So I'm celebrating, I'm such a wonderful person, you know, I'm beautiful, I'm confident, gosh, I, you know, love the way I do that. Pay yourself compliments, and this will also increase your knowing and balance your knowing. And no, it's not egotistical, okay, unless you're comparing yourself to someone else as being less than. Okay, so just put that in perspective. Our society is really screwed up our self-confidence with destructive belief systems. Praising yourself, appreciating yourself, holding yourself to a high esteem is certainly not egotistical. Where egotistical comes in is maybe where you are comparing yourself to someone else and saying they are less than and you are better than. But, you know, you don't need to do that. Just focus on you and your greatness, okay? This will increase confidence. Another simple thing that you can do is if you're one of those overconfident people that you kind of find yourself doing most of the talking in conversations, to embrace humility. And even though a part of you might be saying, oh, they're wrong. Oh, I know better. Let me just get my words in so I can, you know, help them understand. Even if you believe you're helping, just take a couple breaths and pace yourself in conversations. If you find yourself with the overconfidence, very talkative, very much wanting to get your point across. By the way, you know, a strong knower makes a great teacher because you like to talk and you like to share your perspective. So you certainly might consider writing a book or teaching in some way if you have that really strong confidence, even overconfidence. Give it an outlet. Not every conversation is, you know, the best place for it to be an outlet. So here's some tips, Melissa, that can kind of, you know, help people get along with balancing their intuitive knowing quality.
I love it. These are really helpful tips to, you know, strengthen the knowing if it would help you to strengthen it, and humble the knowing if it help you to humble it. And I know sometimes there are certain areas of life where sometimes we can go one or the other. You know, like for instance, parents with their children might sometimes be a little more forceful in their knowing and this or that, and maybe in other areas of your life you're a little more docile, one could say. So it's looking at the different areas of life maybe also and seeing, you know, where does my knowing come out? Where am I, you know, more confident? Where am I less confident? And, you know, things I heard you say to build up that confidence using things like I am, you know, the I am you know, consciousness or mantras that people can use sometimes, where really kind of affirming, you know, things about yourself. And sometimes, you know, I was kind of thinking of ideas about how some people can start that perhaps are underconfident. You know, maybe if you can't, it's really hard for people. I know I've experienced this before to state a confidence in oneself. You know, for instance, maybe something like, you know, I am a great painter. You know, maybe that's hard to give yourself that type of compliment. Maybe instead you can begin with, I appreciate beautiful artwork, or something that points you in the direction where you can at least see yourself and see a place where you can feel great about yourself, feel confident. Is that maybe something that could work in this scenario?
Sure, absolutely. It's about starting wherever you are and with whatever you got and wherever you can. There's no wrong. Our whole approach with New 3 University and the tagline, soul-based living ignites world peace. So the soul-based approach is how we approach everything. And what that really means is there's no wrong. You know, we're moving away from the duality of right, wrong, good, bad, positive, negative, good and evil, and that whole judgmental category, you know, judging and categorizing everything in our existence to simply, you know, this is where I am and this is what's happening and how can I take the next little step, you know, or big step. And of course, if you have the confidence, just take a little steps to kind of dial it back a little and listen more. And with listening, choose to understand. You know, these are tools you can use with knowing. Now, you know, these are straight out of Age of the Soul, okay? The first book that I channeled, Age of the Soul, New Way of Living from Your Soul, on new3university.com, that points you to all the sites around the world. You can purchase it, including Amazon. But there's these practices you can do to open up your other qualities as well, seeing, feeling, hearing. And so there's a nice solid chapter on every intuitive quality in that book that will really be helpful if you want to take it further. This is an entire training that we offer through Nutria University. So there's tons of you know, exercise techniques and perspectives and practices, but I think this will get you started.
Yes, definitely. And Jason, how do you apply intuition, prophecy, and visions in your life on a daily or weekly basis to help you with the everyday practical things?
Well, we've talked about intuitive knowing, so I'd like to talk about prophecy now. And so with prophecy, I'll try to simplify prophecy because it's a very fascinating and sometimes an idea that is hard to make practical and real and grounded in our everyday life. Prophecy essentially is probability. So prophecy is a probability of something happening. So prophecy, because of free will, because the universe was designed in such a way to allow for that big X factor of, you know, the unknown and chance and free will. So much is planned in the universe, but there is that X factor of what is unplanned. And because of the free will and the X factor and chance, no prophecy is 100%. Maybe this is a little contradictory to what some people think, that there are prophecies that are 100%, but no prophecy is 100%. And on a larger level, not even God the source can predict the exact outcome of creation unfolding. Now I'm declaring this with my knower as though it's the truth of God and a matter of fact, but hey, anything that I share that doesn't resonate, you just put it on the shelf and, you know, play with the things that do resonate. I know some of these are big topics. So, you know, we live in this existence where there's certainly big plans in place. You know, each of our souls has a plan in place of experiences it wants to get and spiritual guides that help to fulfill those experiences. And, you know, God, Source Almighty, creator of the universe and existence as we know it, certainly has plans for things and such. However, it's kind of nice to know that nothing is 100% predictable. So when we work with prophecy, what we want to work with is the highest probability of something happening. And that highest probability could be in the 90-something percent. You know, really, really high probability of something happening. It could be lower, right? But it's probability. So I want you to remember that when you're working with prophecy, intuiting probable future timelines and occurrences happening, to keep that in mind and keep in mind that something can happen before that point in time that you prophesized about that could change it. And that happens all the time. And also, you can prophesy something with a high probability and it'll come true. You know, both happen. But the higher the probability of that prophecy, the higher likelihood that it will actually happen. And so that's what we're shooting for with prophecy. Now, there's some practical ways we can use prophecy. Okay? The way I use it to help myself and my clients in my one-on-one sessions is to look at something that I want to achieve, right? Something I want to achieve. So this is a goal, a point in time, manifesting something happening in a point in time. So then I'll prophetically look at what are the actions that will create the highest probability of that particular thing happening at that particular point in time or you know, window of time. And that's very helpful because I could clue in on another timeline that, you know, could be months out or months before that point in time. And then it would change. The actions that I would need to take or the circumstances that would need to happen would be different, more than likely. So it's really useful for that, to kind of get an action plan. It doesn't get more practical than you know, an action plan to manifest a goal. And another way that you can use prophecy is if I continue down with this particular sequence of events, or in this particular relationship, or down this particular line of decision making, okay, if I continue in this way, then what is the highest probable outcome as a result of continuing down this line of decision making and action taking and with these people and with this chain of events? What is the highest probability occurrence that's going to happen? What's going to happen? You know, what does it look like? And that's really useful, especially in relationships, especially in the beginning of relationships. You are looking at how it's a fit, how it's not a fit, should, you know, when do we take the next step and the next step and the next step? And you know, timing is really helpful to understand and have some really nice timing to support the greatest benefit, purpose, and harmony with someone or with a business or with an experience. And so, on one hand, you're saying the end result, what needs to happen to get me to that end result, you know, and you prophesize that, and you look at the sequence of events that add up, that create the highest probability of that particular thing happening at that time. And another way to look at it is, I want this particular, you know, line of actions to take place. You know, I'm gonna stay with this person. I know there's this red flag and that red flag, but you know, I really love this person. I want to stay with them for these reasons. And well, you know, what does that look like a year from now, staying with this person, or 3 months from now, or you know, 2 years from now? Like, what does it look like? What unfolds as a result of making this decision and following this decision through? And that's useful. Does that make sense, Melissa? These two basic different ways that we can use prophecy?
It's really helpful. Yeah, it really grounds the whole thing, because I think, you know, before I learned from you, it always seemed like kind of a far out concept, this future telling, you know, this whole, you know, what one thinks is the crystal ball gazing and the fortune telling. And it always seemed in that way. And this is really a really grounded way to use it. So it really can work for you, I'd say.
Absolutely. It really helps me in interpersonal relationships, personal business relationships and dynamics, and just kind of first intuiting into the person's you know, personality and makeup, and based on, you know, going in this direction, you know, the harmony, or based on going in this direction, the harmony, and or the manifestation. And you know, it's invaluable to have that intuitive perception to peer into these different aspects of one's life experience to create the greatest benefit and outcome. So it's even more fun to teach it to all of you, and you know, to teach, be the instructor in our trainings, Melissa, the psychic retrieval intuitive development training, and everything we do in there. It's just it's very empowering, very fulfilling.
Right. Yeah, there's so much to all of these, you know, to really bring into our life. So I'd love for you to share more about, you know, what you experience when you're using intuition. You know, what are you seeing, feeling, hearing, knowing? And then how do you convey that intuitive message to an audience or an individual?
Well, we're meant to have our four primary intuitive qualities online, open, working together equally, seeing, feeling, hearing, knowing. That it's not that case for everybody, but I have all four open, so I use them all together, and it's very, very helpful because I use them to back each other up and give me the full picture. So I might start with a knowing, an intuitive knowing, and get a, you know, just get kind of an instant knowing, a sense about someone or something. I'll give you an example, being in a session with someone and where, you know, they're asking about, you know, creating harmony with their partner. And I get an intuitive hit, as a lot of people call it. And it's an instant knowing of something. Just something comes into my awareness instantly. Okay. And then what I'll do is I'll use my intuitive hearing to get understanding about that knowing, context. The intuitive hearing is so valuable for context of, you know, circumstances, timing, building the picture. I'll use feeling, intuitive feeling to, for me, intuitive feeling is a validator. You know, when I'm feeling it strong in the body and I get that intuitive feeling as a confirmation, it just backs up the validity and confidence of what I'm getting with my other qualities. And then with the seeing, the visual helps. I might even get, in this case, you know, a client asking about guidance with the relationship and transformation there, I might get a vision of them and the dynamic and how it plays out. And then I'll share with a client, you know, is it possible that, you know, tell me what comes up for you when I say this, you know, when I talk about, you know, you do this and then they do this, and but you're really feeling this and thinking this, but you know, there's misinterpretation. I kind of build the picture and build the story from this intuitive information. And oftentimes I'll hear a person say, oh, wow, you know, you just get me. You just, like, you know, when I have trouble putting it into words, you just really nail it. And that's because I'm using all four intuitive faculties. And of course I use it in my everyday life. I'm constantly tuning into what's best for my well-being, emotionally, mentally, physically. And it really has become for me, Melissa, a way that I perceive my life and reality. Mostly, I would say probably it's, you know, 60 or 80% intuitive perception that I perceive my life always, you know, every day. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful unseen world. And so much peace comes too when you have that open perception, because no longer do you really need to kind of read between the lines, and, you know, someone might not be getting just the words out they want to say or the words they want to really express, but you can intuit what's behind those words. It's very, very helpful.
I love how you explain that and how each of the qualities shows you something and then how they work together to really build that full picture. Because if one or more is missing from the picture, then it's kind of guessing in certain ways to fill in the blanks. And sometimes that's when our mental field can perhaps get overly activated. And, you know, you might be intuiting part of the picture correctly, but then maybe the mental field fills in where the other intuitive qualities aren't showing you something. And so I think what you're sharing here is, you know, we do have all four, and in practicing and building and playing with all of them, it really gives us a lot more information than just using, you know, one or two. So I'm really glad you shared that whole picture. Really fascinating. Jason, you know, would you like to share something with us today that you're perceiving intuitively or as a prophecy or vision, something maybe you're experiencing in this moment now or that you've received recently?
Sure. let's share a little prophecy here. This is actually not an intuitive prophecy. This is a prophecy from spirit. So it's mediumship. It's spiritual communication. Just to tell a distinction there. I shared earlier an example about an intuitive prophecy. But, you know, some of the more interesting stuff that comes to me is not from my own kind of reaching out with my intuition and poking around and, you know, looking into the future, but it's actually spirit giving it to me directly, the prophecy. And some interesting things that spirit has shared with me is about this time that we're in, that we're all hearing about and a part of, but that it's a little different maybe than people think as far as timing goes. Not to discourage you, but really to inspire you that because with the 2012 shift, I think a lot of metaphysical people and spiritual people, even religious people, were talking about something really major happening, and almost like all of a sudden overnight the whole world's going to be different. I know that not everybody, maybe not even the majority of people, believe that way, but there's quite a few that did, especially in the metaphysical community. And I know that there was, you know, some that were like, oh, you know, there wasn't this big, you know, big, huge global epiphany when 12/12/2012 happened. No, but what that actually was that Spirit communicated to me and taught me about was that it was a point in time that represents a larger period in time. What we can expect over the next 100 years is that the world is going to move into a peace that it has not known since souls first began incarnating on the planet. A peace where, you know, it's people are really going to be looking out for each other, and, you know, borders are going to be dissolving and wars dissolving and all of that, moving towards that. By no means does that mean that the whole world is going to be completely balanced, soul-based, love-based, you know, living from the truest universal laws and spiritual nature in 100 years or 200 years. But we will have a world peace that has not been known in a really long time, this century. And it's going to take time. It's not just a decade or 2 decades or 3 decades, but this century. You know, we're looking at this century that's going to happen. But I encourage everyone not to fall into the line of thinking of, well, I won't be alive to see it, but really know how important you are. You are so important. Each and every one of you who are listening to this interview, every one of you is so important, because every person contributes to global peace. We could have global world peace in just one generation. We could. It's not probable as a high probability, but it's probable as a very low probability. So it's probably not going to happen, but it's possible that we could have global peace in one generation. What's more likely is we're going to have it this century. We're going to have a type of global peace this century. But what we do today, how we empower our children, a role model for children, how we change our own consciousness and minds and hearts and really try hard to make our personal growth and spiritual growth a lifestyle versus just a hobby, it makes all the difference obtaining that global peace. It isn't going to happen without us making the difference in the changes today. So please, just meditate on this. Meditate on what part you would like to play in the coming years or decades. What part, what role you'd like to play in this big shift of the ages that is here now, that you're a part of. It's a glorious time to be alive. And it's certainly happening. And I've also been shown that while it's possible, it's unlikely that the world or humanity will destroy itself. It's not completely off the table, but I think it's a there's a lot of focus on that possibility too, prophetically, by some. But it's really unlikely. The direction we're moving and the momentum that we have is paving the way for world peace. And really, we're just getting started. This 2012 pivotal point in time really marked a change. It started happening really back around the 60s, 70s, with souls coming in different ways, new souls coming in from different parts of the universe, more advanced souls, just kind of really the energy was starting to build for the new consciousness and the shift, but it really hit a peak around now or 2012, and it's going to continue building, and there'll be more peaks that it hits. So, you know, with this information that Spirit has shown me, I encourage everyone to just imagine your part, as big or as small as you want to play. What part, what role do you want to play in this shift of the ages?
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that question for each of us to reflect on and even revisit over time. I know as you're sharing this, and I've heard you, you know, ask this question before in our trainings, and it's something I'm excited to actually revisit again now. So, Jason, thank you so much. Today we've gained a deeper understanding of intuition, prophecy, and visions. Blessings.